The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
An illegal alien can come here 9 months pregnant or on a tourist visa, 9 months pregnant, have a baby. That baby is then declared an automatic citizen, which then entitles the entire family to come here and live here. And every one of them can get welfare. Yes, they can get unlimited welfare applying as the custodian of this citizen, so-called child. The biggest financial ripoff of Americans in history, not to mention the fact that it is the number one magnet for illegal immigration and invasion, and that is used by foreign governments to conduct espionage against the United States. Because now, see, we can keep out a foreign spy who has a visa, who's trying to get permission to board an airplane. But what happens when a foreign government uses this ridiculous birthright scam in order to create automatic citizens who then grow up as assets of a foreign government? So it's a major national security threat.
This is Stephen Miller. We can play the rest of that clip in a moment, but we just wanted to tee up our next great guest. And Stephen Miller really talking about these cases of mass migration, of illegal immigration, and some of the problems there within. And of course, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, will take up one of these cases next month in May. So top White House aide, Chief of Staff Stephen Miller. The media is saying that he, in fact, was going on a rant. I think he made a lot of sense, but let's ask our next guest. Hans von Spakovsky returns, senior legal fellow, Heritage Foundation, obviously DOJ, former FEC commissioner, DOJ attorney, and with a brand new, I think just this week, Hans, you're starting a new podcast. Am I right here?
You are right. We started a new podcast that went out, and the first thing we talk about is the federal judge in Washington that has no military experience, who told the U.S. Department of Defense, "You want to change your military standards? I won't let you."
Yeah, I love it. And so you can, it's called Case in Point. So that's how it starts. And you can follow it on X. Find his, it just started this week, The Game of Risk When Judges Think They're Admirals. But it's Case in Point. And you can look at the little @ Case in Point Pod. So it looks fantastic. We love all of your, you know, your legal opinions, your great analysis. What do you make of, you know, today's headline, Hans von Spakovsky, is one of them, is that we have these illegals, the so-called Maryland father, and this story continues. I mean, as everybody's talking about the so-called Maryland father, they're not even talking about the fact that another illegal in that same area in Maryland, by the way, is he and his uncle are now charged in the murder, the strangulation of a 23-year-old Maryland mother. But nobody's talking about the Maryland mother.
They keep talking about him as a Marylander. He's not a Marylander. Yeah. He's an El Salvadoran citizen, period. The immigration judges found that he was in the U.S. illegally. In fact, his lawyers admitted he was in the U.S. illegally. So anytime you hear anybody say, "Oh, it's a Maryland father," wrong. He's an El Salvador, and he is not a U.S. citizen. And like I said, his own lawyers admitted he was in the U.S. illegally.
Yes. It's and I know that you also had strong opinions about the Associated Press, and you put that out on social media, talking about the Associated Press, their lawsuit to get back into the White House. What's your take with the Associated Press and overall just the media bias that continues?
Well, the Associated Press sued the White House over access, they did get a ruling, a narrow ruling in their favor, but they portrayed it as some huge win. What it basically boiled down to is there's like 1,300 reporters that have access to the White House. Some of it's fuller than others. Others are more limited. There's a very small press pool. That's about 24 people. And that press pool, if you're in that press pool, you get access to everything. Okay. And the Associated Press had two permanent seats in that press pool. And the White House came in and said, well, we're taking over control of this. There's now only going to be one wire service seat, and you, Associated Press, are not going to have access to it. The other wire services will, people like Reuters. So AP sued, trying to get their two permanent seats back. And what the judge said is, no, you don't have any right to permanent access. However, if there's a wire seat, one seat that rotates among the wire services, yeah, you do have a right to be in that rotation. So what did the White House then do? They got rid of the wire seat and said that seat will now rotate between the wire services, including AP, and press reporters.
Which
is totally fair. And what was the point of the White House getting rid of the two permanent seats for AP? Because they said, we want to bring in new media. Because before the White House took control, it was those press seats were controlled by the White House Correspondents Association, a very liberal organization that had excluded conservative media from it. In fact, just a little while ago, the president of the White House Correspondents Association left Politico to do what? Go become a host at MSNBC. That tells you a bit about his politics.
Amen. I know that the Supreme Court, you know, is in session as I speak, started at 10 o'clock this morning. Multiple cases, one of them, case of Mahmoud v. Taylor, Montgomery County Public Schools, presenting those issues on First Amendment rights for the content presented in public schools. And a family, parents, really, it's a kind of a parents' rights issue to opt out of specific materials. It's something, I mean, people have dealt with this across the country. I can think of multiple cases here in Pennsylvania, where I'm broadcasting from, but as well, South Jersey, there were some, you know, important cases where we talked about this. What's your take on this one, Hans?
Well, look, what this case is about is that the Maryland public schools are basically feeding gay propaganda to the kids. And it used to be that parents could opt their kids out of the classes where that propaganda was being taught. Okay. And it is propaganda. Apparently, too many parents were opting their kids out of that. And so the leftists who run the Maryland school system said there will be no more opt out.
Yeah.
And all these parents have sued. And listen, it's a combination of parents of different religions, Muslims, Muslim parents, Jewish parents, Christian parents, all suing and saying, you are violating my religious beliefs by forcing my children to read and be taught these materials. And it's not that they're saying you got to get rid of it. They're just saying that opt-out provision has to be brought back because you're violating my First Amendment rights by not allowing me to take my kids out of it. I frankly think that they are going to win. Because this was clearly done for ideological reasons by Maryland school authorities.
Yeah. Yeah, and you think about what's going on right now in Maryland. I mean, they really are making a lot of headlines with, obviously, the so-called Maryland father, that case that I referred to. I wanted to pivot to something, and that is, you know, you have put out there and supported Pam Bondi, obviously you're a former DOJ attorney yourself. But when Bondi ordered the Department of Justice in February to cut off all federal funding to sanctuary cities, and you called it a powerful first move for cities like Philadelphia. I mean, Hans, I'm reporting from Philadelphia, sanctuary city. So what impact do you think moving forward that has? Our mayor, Sherelle Parker, really has not said too much publicly about this. She's been rather quiet, which I think says volumes. But why do you think that's such a powerful first move? And what do you expect in the next steps by DOJ to bring forth law and order across America?
Well, look, a lot of people don't realize, but the Justice Department gets a huge amount of money from Congress every year, literally billions of dollars that they don't use for prosecuting cases. It's given to Justice to then distribute to state governments and city and local governments. And that money is supposed to be used for improving law enforcement at the local level. Well, when you have a city like Philadelphia or Boston saying, we're not going to help you enforce federal immigration laws. In fact, if we arrest and convict illegal aliens for local crimes, no, we are not going to notify you so that you can pick them up when they've served their sentence. No, we're going to release them back into the community, these dangerous criminals. Why should they be getting any money, federal money, for improving law enforcement when, in fact, they're doing everything they can to hurt law enforcement in their city? So I think a lot of towns, a lot of cities have become dependent on that federal money, and I think this is a big stick that the federal government can and should use, and it's perfect common sense to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I do want to get, there's so much I want to ask you about and pick your brains about, but I wanted to ask you about the case of the wife of the detained Columbia student, Mahmoud Khalil. She announced the birth of her son, that she's very upset and blaming President Trump and the administration for not allowing her husband out of a Louisiana prison for the birth of their son. What do you make of this case? You know, we have this case where we have all these fathers. We've got a Maryland father. We have Mahmoud Khalil, who's a father, the Columbia student, who I think he's 30 or around 30-ish, so he's not a kid. What do you make of these cases and how you think versus, I know Hans, that most Americans don't get into this issue, but are you concerned about the constitutional rights or just, you know, the fact that maybe these individuals are being denied their due process?
No, the answer to that is no. I congratulate her on the birth of her child. But if she wants to get her husband back, then maybe she should have said to him, you should not be supporting a terrorist organization. This man, this Columbia student, helped instigate and organize the violent protests at Columbia University that supported Hamas, which has been a designated terrorist organization since 1997. And under federal immigration law, the attorney general can order the deportation of aliens who are in this country, and he was an alien, he was not a U.S. citizen, for a whole set of reasons. And one of them is endorsing or espousing terrorist activity or endorsing or espousing support for a terrorist organization. By what he was doing, he fits right within that federal statute. So I have no problem with removing someone who is a guest in our country for endorsing and supporting a terrorist organization.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I just think there are so many people, even Joe Rogan, we played a clip earlier this morning of Joe Rogan saying, well, especially in the case of the so-called Maryland father, you know, we should be concerned about due process rights, and we always want to preserve those because that's kind of our thing as Americans. But, you know, from a legal standpoint, are you concerned about the so-called, you know, individuals like that Maryland father or those other individuals who I don't hear anybody in the media, with the exception of this one individual, nobody's protesting the fact that hundreds of individuals were scooped up, accused human traffickers, gang members, etc. And they're in the mega prison, so-called, in El Salvador. So it would seem that what the media by omission is admitting to is by omission that, yeah, the rest of them, they were some pretty bad hombres. We got rid of them. But was their due process somehow violated?
Well, I don't believe so, and certainly not with Mr. Garcia, the El Salvadoran from Maryland, because he, in fact, had two, not one, two immigration hearings before an immigration judge where he was represented by lawyers. So he had all the due process to which he is entitled under federal immigration law, and it's at those hearings where his lawyers admitted that he was in the United States illegally. The only reason he wasn't immediately ordered deported was because one of the judges gave him a waiver because he Garcia claimed he was afraid of a gang back in El Salvador called Barrio 18 that was targeting him. Well, if some people do a quick Google News search, they'll find that Barrio 18 is no more.
Yeah.
The El Salvadoran president, when he came in, used his emergency powers to go after some of the worst criminal gangs in El Salvador, including Barrio 18, and basically he smashed that organization. So the only reason, the one reason he had for not being immediately deported is now gone. So there is no reason for him, one, to be left in the United States, and two, anyone who says he didn't have his due process rights obviously hasn't read the details of his case.
Yeah, very. Well, listen, you're so knowledgeable. Congratulations, Han von Spakovsky, Hans Baby, as Yoli always calls you, which I love. Great reference to a great Christmas movie.
Can I ask Hans a quick question? Because this is just happening live. It just happened on CNN. Rosie O'Donnell joined and actually called out the Heritage Foundation. I didn't know if Hans would want to respond to that. Hans, can I play that clip and hear what you got to say real quick?
Well, I don't know what she said, but anyone who takes her seriously.
Well, here you go, Hans.
Our country stands for as a beacon of shining light and freedom for the rest of the world, that should he do what the Heritage Foundation said he was going to do in that Project 2025, that we were going to be in big trouble. And it's as bad as they promised and even a little bit worse. And it's been heartbreaking and personally very, very sad to watch.
I'll bet you that Rosie McDonald has not read a single page of the 900-page Policy 25 book that has all our policy proposals of how to make the federal government run better. I bet you she hadn't read a single page of it.
I'll bet you're right. I'm going to go with you on that
Hans,
one.
Yeah. Yeah. You too, sir. Yes.
Hans, until next time, and again, congratulations on the new podcast that just dropped, so make sure you follow him. Hans, thanks a million. Until next time.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.